This is episode number 68 of That's a Freebie. Ghost Watch. Dun, 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 dun.
Hey, yeah, you're right. Yeah. This is a special, spooky edition of That's a Freebie. Seriously, it's spooky. Listen, listen, listen. That's what makes it spooky. And I've got a couple of spooky topics. Topics? I've got a couple of spooky topics as well. The first one is actually an Ask a Freebie question. And the spooky Ask a Freebie question this week is, what is your favourite thing about Halloween? My favourite thing about Halloween is dead simple. And as you might guess, it's food. It's pumpkin pie. I absolutely love pumpkin pie. Don't like pumpkin spice latte, but I love pumpkin pie. So yeah, it's as simple as that. If you want to ask a question to open up the show, you just go to the show notes or thatsafreebie.com and you can fill in the feedback form. You can send in a question to open the show. You can submit a topic for Podtails and you can submit general feedback as well. But on with the show. I'm going to start off this week with a spooky tram question. Tram story. I was on the tram, and there were these kids on the tram. And when the tram set off, the kids stayed where they were, and the tram went through them, and they were ghosts! No, that didn't happen. Sorry, that's not true. No, it's actually just... It's just a story about some kids on the tram. Kids on the tram being a bit of a nuisance. Not that bad, really, but, you know, it wasn't such a pain. And I'm talking kids here, like little kids. They don't know any better. So the kids on the tram are jumping up on the yellow bars that for holding on to when you're on the tram. They're jumping up and swinging on the bars, and there are some yellow bars that lie across in front of the seats where the doors are. And they were jumping up and standing on them while the tram was moving along. Bit dangerous, really. And the mum was just, like, encouraging them like crazy to do it. She was getting them to see who could climb up the fastest. The problem with it all was that in doing so, they were kicking people as they were getting on and off the tram because they were just swinging. They kicked a few people in the face. One person's glasses got broken. And the mum just didn't give a crap. Like, she didn't care. And I don't blame the kids for this at all. It was the parents. She just thought it was all really, really funny. It was bizarre, really. And then one of the kids, of course, slipped, fell, banged the head on the seat. On the top of the seat, proper cracked it, screaming, crying, everything. And she decided then, the mother, that it was all the driver's fault because he took a corner too hard. It's a tram, it's on rails. How? I nearly swore then. How do you take a corner? Well, I suppose you can take a corner too hard, but how do you not expect something like that to happen when you're on a moving tram? Yeah, I was a bit astounded by that one. And before we move on to our spooky topic of the week, I have a couple of etiquette questions for you, because I'm not too sure how I feel about either of these. I'll tell you what I do, or I'll tell you what I did in one case. So the first one is really a really straightforward one. And I noticed it about myself earlier on today, because I went shopping this morning. I was shopping in Aldi, and I only had Asda bags in the car. And Sainsbury's bags. And I felt a bit guilty taking an Asda bag into Aldi. And to the point where I was searching the boot trying to see if I had an Aldi bag, because we have lots of bags in there because we carry them around with us. But yeah, and I've noticed I do that. Whenever I go shopping, I always pull out the bag for that particular place that I'm going. And then when I'm in there, I make a big show of getting the bag out. Not because I want people to look at me and go, oh, look at him, he's using his bags, that's amazing. No, I want to make sure they know that, like, especially in Sainsbury's, because they just have them on a hanger. I don't want them to think that I've not paid for the bag, you know, that I've taken the bag and not paid for it. Because people do that, don't they? They pick the bag up, don't bother scanning it. and then just put the shopping in it. And I always make a point of like pulling the bag out of my pocket, stretching it out so that it fits all my stuff and all that kind of stuff. It's dead funny. Like at Asda, they make you feel guilty for it. They won't let you pick your own bag. You ask for a bag at Asda, and they say, I have to scan it. They walk it over to the tills and scan it for you. So, yeah, I don't know how I feel about that, but I always try and find the right bag for the shop. Let me know what you think on that one. And the other one, this happened to me about a week ago. It's etiquette regarding funeral car processions. Now, obviously, what I would always like to do is, if I'm driving along the road and a funeral car procession is going across my path, let's say, or in some way, shape or form, I see it, I will stop and let as many of the cars go that are clearly part of that procession. You can generally tell by the attire that the people are waiting inside the car. I will try and join the back of the queue. Anyway, the other day I'm driving along and the traffic lights changed. And so it basically meant that the car carrying somebody's coffin went past. Then the family car went past. I can't remember what you call that, but that went past. And then the other cars that were behind it, and there was quite a long procession, the other cars that were behind it were then stuck at the traffic lights. They stopped at the traffic lights. And then my traffic lights changed and let me go. So I ended up behind the follower car. So I'm driving along and they're obviously going extremely slowly. So I thought, well, I'm not going to overtake them. I have plenty of opportunity to overtake them. But I thought it'd be a bit rude to overtake them. So I just followed along nicely. I thought at the end of the road, we're going to get to a roundabout. It'll be fine. I'll just go because I could go either way, like either of two ways on this roundabout, and I can still get home. So I thought to myself, I'll just go the opposite way to whatever the funeral car goes. And then the cars that have now joined behind me could join it. And there was no room to pull over either. The way the road works, I couldn't just pull over and let them go. It would have caused more problems if I'd have done that, because the other cars would have ended up stuck behind me then. It's a narrow road. So we get to the roundabout, and really respectfully, all the other cars on the roundabout that were coming from the right stopped to let the funeral car go, because the funeral car went, they stopped, and then they stopped to let the procession of cars go, which was me. And I was like, oh, I'm not actually part of this procession. So I stopped and waved them to let them go. And they're like, no, it's okay, don't worry. Like, they're waving me across. I was like, oh, okay. The easiest thing to do here is to just go. So I went. And then, so the funeral car turned right on the roundabout. I took the third exit, more accurately. I then thought to myself, well, it's okay, because I can take the second exit, because that way I'm just going the opposite way to the car and I'm no longer part of this procession. But then I felt really guilty because all the other cars had stopped. So I followed the funeral car and I did 10 minutes onto my journey because it was going so slow. And I just followed the procession till I got to a turning where I could turn off to get to my house. And I was like, you're an idiot. Why did you do that? Why did you? No one, you would never see anyone again. No one would say anything. No one would have noticed. But no, I felt bad because the procession that was following the car had gotten stuck so far behind and no one was following it. So I just ended up following it and just driving very slowly. Yeah, I'm curious to what you lot would do in that same situation. You may know this already, but Halloween is coming up at the end of this week. I was hoping for the show to actually land on Halloween, but it didn't. Doesn't matter too much. I'm still going to do the same topic, and it's still going to be a Halloween special. You know, all the spooky noises should be giving that away. In today's topic, we're actually going to be looking at a TV show that I watched when I was 12 years old, and it's called Ghostwatch. You may remember it. So picture this. It's Halloween night, 1992. I'm 12. Families across Britain settle in for what appears to be a live investigation into a haunted house. Turns out, Ghostwatch was a mockumentary supernatural horror TV movie, and it unfolds as a seemingly real-time broadcast. It was written by Stephen Volk and directed by Leslie Manning, and this chilling drama was part of the BBC One's series produced by Richard Brooke, Ruth Baumgarten and Derek Nelson. I find that really hard to say. I thought this was real at the time, and it scared the bejesus out of me. Now, I should really point out at this point that the show was introduced as a live investigation. It was hosted by the legendary Michael Parkinson, and alongside him, Sarah Green braved the haunted house, Mike Smith handled calls from viewers, and comedian Craig Charles interviewed for locals. The setup was perfect. The stage was set, but nothing could prepare the audience for what they were about to witness. Now, I only wanted to watch this because Craig Charles was in it. I was a huge Red Dwarf fan. There was only me and my stepdad in the house at the time, and the whole time I thought it was real. I was astonished that they were discovering all of this on live TV. I'm not even sure my stepdad was convinced that it wasn't real either, because he kept trying to reassure me a little bit too much, you know? The story revolves around the Early family, tormented by a malevolent poltergeist named Mr. Pipes. This eerie entity, named for the unsettling noises it made through the house's plumbing, terrorized Pamra Early and her daughters, Suzanne and Kim. As the broadcast progressed, strange occurrences began to unfold. At first, it seemed like an elaborate hoax, with Suzanne caught faking ghostly noises. But then, the true horror revealed itself. Suzanne, possessed, speaks with a demonic voice and scratches appear on her face. I remember seeing this. Oh, callers from across the country share their ghost stories, many claiming to have seen Pipes in their own homes. The atmosphere grew thicker with dread as the backstory of Pipes unraveled. A disturbed man named Raymond Tunstall, who believed he was possessed by the spirit of a child killer, Mother Seddons. And ultimately, he took his own life in the house's basement, and his body was partially eaten by his own cats. It's the stuff of nightmares. As the night's events spiral out of control, the show reveals a terrifying twist. The broadcast itself had become a nationwide seance, allowing Pipes to infiltrate homes across Britain. The climax is a crescendo of fear. Sarah Green is dragged into the cellar by unseen forces. The studio is plunged into darkness, and Michael Parkinson, alone, begins to show signs of possession. Now, to understand the impact, let's just delve a little deeper into the background of Pipes. This malevolent spirit wasn't just an ordinary ghost. Tunstall, a troubled man, was believed to be possessed by Mother Seddons, a notorious Victorian baby farmer and child murderer. The ghost's horrific appearance, with his missing eyes and mauled face, was a result of his gruesome end. Locked in the basement with his starving cats, this grotesque imagery alone was enough to send shivers down the spines of the viewers. But it was the slow, methodical reel of his backstory that truly terrified people. The production team employed several realistic techniques to enhance the authenticity of the broadcast, from using actual BBC technicians as part of the cast to integrating real ghost hunting technology. They blurred the lines between fiction and reality. The house was equipped with motion detectors, temperature sensors, and covert cameras, all contributing to the sense of a genuine live investigation. And as the show progressed, supernatural phenomena escalated. Viewers watched in horror as objects moved on their own. Mysterious scratches appeared on Suzanne's face, and chilling nursery rhymes were recited by unseen forces. These elements played on the primal fears of the audience, making the fictional seem all too real. But the most terrifying aspect was the idea that Pipes could use the broadcast as a conduit to enter viewers' homes. This wasn't just a haunting confined to a single house. It was a nationwide invasion. Dr. Lynn Pascoe, the show's fictional psychologist, theorized that the broadcast had created a massive seance, allowing the spirit to spread like a virus. The aftermath was immediate and intense. An estimated 1 million viewers called the BBC, a mix of terror and awe in their voices. The show was never repeated on UK television, but found a cult following internationally. And through home video releases, its influence stretched far, inspiring creators of later horror phenomena like The Blair Witch Project and Host. Yet, Ghostwatch, left a far darker legacy. It was blamed for inducing PTSD in children and linked to the tragic death of a young man who believed his own home was haunted. The controversy it sparked led to a reprimand from the Broadcasting Standards Commission criticising the BBC for the distress that they caused. Despite its eerie aftermath, Ghost Watch remains a groundbreaking piece of television horror, a masterclass in blending fiction and reality to spine-tingling effect. So as you turn the lights off tonight and let the tales of terror fill the room, remember the power of a well-told ghost story. Maybe, just maybe, you'll catch a glimpse of Pipes lurking in the shadows. Now, needless to say, this show still haunts me to this day. Even when it comes to the end and it says that it's fake, basically. I must think about this thing at least once a month. The thing that set me off the most is probably the least creepy thing in the show is when someone in the studio said a caller had called in to point out there was a figure stood in front of a curtain in one of the rooms. They went back and looked at the footage, and sure enough, there was a faint sort of outline of the figure. Now, I had curtains that really, really closely resembled them. They were thick and heavy, and ever since that day, I could always see that figure's shape when I looked at them. Eventually, I got a dartboard for Christmas, and I would throw darts at the curtains, hoping that the light would shine through. And I remember my mum getting really upset with me because there was holes in there. And I never told her, like, the real reason I did it. It was because I was terrified there was a ghost stood in front of my curtains. Oh, it was terrifying. I implore you to go and find out. I think it's on YouTube. If it is, I will leave a link to it in the show notes because I'm almost certain that during my research for this, I found that it was on YouTube. There is also going to be a second part to this as well in That's a Freebie Plus. Subscribe so that you can hear that. It's actually called Ghost Watch Behind the Curtain. This week's pick of the week is the podcast This Week in Google. It's not actually about Google. It's supposed to be. It's supposed to be about the business of Google and the technologies that they're working on. But it's more about the internet at large. We talk about all of the major tech companies and the technologies and legislation that they're going through. It's, again, good podcast. You should listen to it. It's a good all-round look at the world of tech and what companies are doing about like AI, robotics, all that kind of stuff. Definitely worth checking out. And I wanted to end this week's episode with one of my favorite jokes about, well, it's not about Halloween, but one of my favorite Halloween adjacent jokes. A skeleton walks into a bar and he orders a beer and a mop. Yeah, good luck sleeping tonight. I will see you all next week. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Goodbye.